Hey, Bruce fans. Glad you joined us. I'm your host, Jimbo Big Train Mattson, with another edition of This Week in the Blues. We are in Memphis, Tennessee, on Beale Street, at the home of the Blues. We'll have a little more information about Beale Street, but first, let's take a look at what happened this week in Blues history.
Blues guitarist Ronnie Earl was born March 10, 1953, in Queens, New York. During his college years, he attended a Muddy Waters concert at the Jazz Workshop in Boston. After seeing Waters perform, Earl took a serious interest in the guitar, which he had first picked up in 1973. His first job was as a rhythm guitarist at the Speakeasy, a blues club in Cambridge, Massachusetts. In addition to playing in the Boston blues scene, Earl traveled twice by Greyhound bus to Chicago, where he was introduced to the Chicago blues scene by Coco Taylor. Electric guitar innovator Harvey Mandel was born March 11, 1945, and is best known as a member of the band Canned Heat. He also played with Charlie Musselwhite and John Mayall, as well as maintaining a solo career. On the night that former guitar player Henry Vestine quit the band Canned Heat, Mandel was in the band's dressing room at the Fillmore West. Mike Bloomfield joined them for the first set, and Mandel came in for the second set. His third performance with the band was at the Woodstock Festival in 1969. His playing is known for its relentless fuzz tone, feedback edge solos, and unusual syncopated phrasing. Early country blues musician Laughing Charlie Lincoln was born March 11, 1900. He often recorded with his brother Robert Hicks, who you probably know as Barbecue Bob. He was born Charlie Hicks Jr. in Lithonia, Georgia. In his teens, he was taught to play the guitar by Savannah Weaver, who was the mother of blues guitarist Curly Weaver, and he performed in the Lithonia area until 1920. One-man band Jesse Fuller, best known for his song San Francisco Bay Blues, was born March 12, 1896. His infectious rhythm and gentle charm graced old folk tunes, spirituals, and blues alike. Fuller was equipped with a band full of instruments operated by various parts of his body. Performing as a one-man band, he began to get spots on local television shows and in nightclubs. He wrote San Francisco Bay Blues, and the song helped him land a record contract. In the late 50s and early 60s, Fuller became one of the key figures of the blues revival. Chicago electric blues guitarist Melvin Taylor was born March 13, 1959, in Jackson, Mississippi. Taylor's parents moved to Chicago in 1962, taking him along. There he joined a popular music group called the Transistors. He switched his focus to blues music when the group disbanded in the early 80s. He found work playing in clubs on the west side of Chicago, often at Rosa's Lounge. During the 1980s, he joined Pine Top Perkins and the legendary blues band for a year-long European tour. He continues to record and tour, and more information about his latest tour dates and releases can be found at his website at melvintaylor.com. Swamp blues giant Lightnin' Slim was born March 13, 1913, on a farm outside of St. Louis, Missouri, although some say he was born in Good Pine, Louisiana. His birth name is Otis Hicks. His first recording was Bad Luck Blues. If it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have no luck at all, which was released in 1954. Starting in the mid-1950s, Slim recorded for a dozen years, often collaborating with his brother-in-law, Slim Harpo, and the harmonica player, Lazy Lester. He was ranked as one of the five great bluesmen of the 1950s, along with Muddy Waters, Little Walter, Howlin' Wolf, and Sonny Boy Williamson. One of the first blues divas, Clara Smith, was born March 13, 1894. She was a classic female blues singer, billed as the Queen of the Moaners, although she had a lighter and sweeter voice than many of her contemporaries. In 1910, Smith began working on African-American theater circuits and tent shows and vaudeville. By 1923, she settled in New York City, appearing at cabarets and speakeasies there. Soon after, she made the first of her commercially successful series of recordings. Smith recorded a total of 122 tracks, with her record sales being topped only by Bessie Smith. Clara Smith was known all across the country, even performing on the West Coast, which was rare at the time for a blues singer. Country blues great Robert Pete Williams was born March 14, 1914, in Zachary, Louisiana. His music characteristically employed unconventional structures and guitar tunings, and his songs are often about the time he served in prison. Williams was born to a family of sharecroppers and spent his childhood picking cotton and cutting sugarcane. By the age of 20, Williams fashioned a crew guitar by attaching 5 copper strings to a cigar box, and soon after bought a cheap mass-produced guitar. He was discovered by musicologists in the Louisiana State Penitentiary, where he was serving a life sentence for fatally shooting a man in a nightclub in 1956. The parole board was convinced to commute his sentence to 12 years. Blues guitarist Lightnin' Hopkins was born March 15, 1912, in Centerville, Texas. A record company executive dubbed him Lightnin' Hopkins when he was paired with the blues pianist Wilson Thunder Smith. At the age of 8, he met Blind Lemon Jefferson at a church picnic and went on to learn the blues from his distant older cousin, the country blues singer Alger Texas Alexander. Hopkins' style was born from spending many hours playing informally without a backing band. His distinctive fingerstyle technique often included playing, in effect, bass, rhythm, lead, and percussion at the same time. Much of Hopkins' music follows the standard 12-bar blues template, but his phrasing was free and loose. He often referred to himself as Poor Lightnin' in his songs. Blues musician James Yank Ratchell was born March 16th in either 1903 or 1910. Ratchell has been called the elder statesman of the blues. His career as a performer spanned nearly 70 years, from the late 1920s into the 1990s. He was a composer of several blues standards, including Diving Duck Blues and She Caught the Katy. He was notable for his driving rhythmic style on the mandolin and the cropped guitar-like phrases he achieved on it. Blues country guitarist Abraham John Bond Jr., better known as Son Bonds, was born March 16, 1909. Bonds was born in Brownsville, Tennessee. He was also billed on records as Brownsville Son Bonds and Brother Son Bonds. He worked and played with the likes of Sleepy John Estes and Tammy Nixon. The music of Bond's 1934 song, Back Inside Blues, became a standard blues melody when Sonny Boy Williamson used it in his classic Good Morning Schoolgirl. The best known of Bond's other works are A Hard Pill to Swallow and Come Back Home. Now let's talk a little bit about Beale Street in Memphis, Tennessee. The street runs almost 2 miles from the Mississippi River to East Street in Memphis. First, a bit about its history. It was created in 1841, and early on it was a trade hub. And in the 1860s, traveling black musicians began performing on Beale Street. By the early 1900s, Beale Street was filled with many clubs, restaurants, and shops, many of them owned by African Americans. From the 1920s to the 1940s, Louis Armstrong, Muddy Waters, Memphis Minnie, B.B. King, and many other blues and jazz legends played on Beale Street and helped develop the style known as Memphis Blues. But by the 1960s, Beale Street had fallen on hard times and many businesses closed. Despite reaching National Historic Landmark status in 1966 and Congress declaring it the home of the blues in 1977. Revitalization started with a $5 million grant to jumpstart a rejuvenation. And over time, blues clubs and restaurants opened, started drawing crowds. Today, there are dozens of music venues lining the streets and filling them once again with music 7 days a week. Well, blues fans, we just covered some of the highlights here. If you want to know more about these artists or other things that happened this week in the blues, be sure to follow our social media pages or visit our website at bigtrainblues.com. We'll have a new episode next week. So, we'll see you then.